This morning, our devotional background study comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 29, verses 19 through 27. A servant will not be corrected by words, for though he understand, he will not answer. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. He that delicately bringeth up his servant from a child shall save him, become his son at the length. An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Whoso is partner with a thief hateth his own soul. He heareth cursing and bewrayeth it not. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Many seek the ruler's favor, but every man's judgment cometh from the Lord. An unjust man is an abomination to the just, and he that is upright in the way is abomination to the wicked. Are there any announcements before we go to class?
Just where there is no vision, the people perish. And I'll read our Sunday school lesson, and I'll try to bring out a few things of that, and then I want to go over into Samuel and read some of that. Actually, I've got several different places. We're going to be jumping around the Bible some, but we'll start off here with Proverbs, and this is the first part of the 29th chapter of Proverbs. Brother Jimmy read the last half, so we're taking it not in order. But Proverbs 29 and 1 says, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father, but he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. The king by judgment establisheth the land, but he that receiveth gifts overthroweth it. A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. In the transgression of an evil man there is a snare, but the righteous doth sing and rejoice. The righteous considereth the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know it. Scornful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men turn away wrath. If a wise man contendeth with a fool, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. The bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just seek his soul. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. If a ruler hearken to lies, all his servants are wicked. The poor and the deceitful man meet together. The Lord lighteneth both their eyes. The king that faithfully judges the poor, his throne shall be established forever. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth, but the righteous shall see their fall. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest, yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." I want to go through just and make some brief comments on some of these. I'm not going to cover all of them, but I want to get a few of them, and then I want to go to 1 Samuel. This 29 and 1 says, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed and without remedy." We're going to read in just a minute about two of Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, and what became of them. And also another person that this would apply to would be the Pharaoh, not allowing the children of Egypt, how that the Lord sent Moses to Pharaoh time after time, and he had all the plagues that was cast upon Egypt, and yet Pharaoh still hardened his heart, and we know what happened with Pharaoh. How that he was destroyed. We go on down and we read the king in the fourth verse here. "The king by judgment establish the land, but he that receiveth gifts overthroweth it." And I can't help but think about the situation that we are in today in the United States. I believe there is a lot of corruption, and I believe that there is bribery going on with our elected officials. And I can't help but think that they are in part, in large part, bringing our country down. Now, I don't want to go too far into that because there are a lot of problems here, and it's not all it's not all the leaders' fault, our officials' fault. We as God's people can't escape the blame in that we have the ability to turn to God and to ask Him to heal our land. And the Bible teaches us that He will heal our land if we will humble ourselves and turn to Him. We have that power, and it's not a natural power. It's not something that we're going to affect by rising up in the streets or meeting down and camping out on the lawns at wherever these people are camping out. That's not our source of power. Our source of power is the Lord, and turning to Him with a humble heart and a contrite spirit and praying to Him that He would heal our land. He would do that. But it is true that when the officials take bribes, that the land is weakened and overthrown. And then we get down in the 7th verse, the righteous considereth the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know it. The wicked people just don't care. They don't care what happens to anyone. They're selfish, self-centered persons that are only interested in their own well-being. Righteous people, people that have been saved and know mercy, need to be concerned with the poor people, with the people that don't have enough to eat or don't have a place to live. There are people in that condition, and we as God's people need to pray that the Lord will guide us to help those. We need to have concern. We need to want to help people and to be there to help them. But we need to do that through the leadership of the Lord, because we need to be guided in that instance, that we help those that truly are in need of help. Dropping down to the 11th verse here, it says, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. We as God's people need to know when to speak, and we need to know when to be quiet. There is a time to be quiet, and I've been guilty of speaking and saying something when I would have been better off. I behaved foolishly, and I understood that later on. We can cause a lot of damage by doing that, by speaking at the wrong time or saying the wrong thing. We need to be a wise man here, in the sense that we are near God and following His instructions. And I want to say right now, you know, when we speak about wise men and foolish men, we're not talking about intellect. We're not talking about book learning. We're talking about people that are drawing near to God and following His commandments and praying about what it is that God would have them to do. Whereas foolish people may be very smart and they may know a lot, but if they're not turning to God for instruction and for leadership, they're foolish in that they don't know what to do. And that's I want y'all to keep that in mind, that not necessarily that a fool is just someone that's slow-witted, because I don't believe that's what he's speaking of here. Anyone, no matter what their intelligence, guided by the Lord, is a wise person indeed. Going down to the 18th verse, and I'm going to try to get into our lesson now, about where there is no vision, the people perish. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. In the Old Testament, they had laws that they were commanded to follow, and they had sacrifices that they had to make. And you can read over in Leviticus the various sacrifices and what animal was for what purpose and everything. But it says here, he that keepeth the law, the law of the Lord, does what the Lord would have them to do, happy is he. The people that keep the law kept the vision. They understood, they drew near to God, and they followed the leadership of God. And it says here they were happy because the Lord took care of them. And that is where our true contentment and peace comes to us from God when we follow His Spirit and His instruction. I want to go over now for just a second, because we're speaking about vision, and vision, not eyesight, but vision, leadership from the Lord, spiritual guidance. And I want to read, I'm going to skip around a little bit here in 1 Samuel, but I'll start with the third chapter. And we'll start with the first verse here in the third chapter of 1 Samuel. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Just to give you a little background, most of you already know, probably all of you know, how that Hannah had no children, and she prayed to the Lord that the Lord might bless her with a child. And she prayed that if the Lord would give her a child, she would dedicate that child to the Lord, to serve the Lord. And the Lord gave her Samuel, and once Samuel was weaned, she took Samuel to be raised by Eli the priest, and that Eli the priest might instruct Samuel, and that Samuel might be a man of God. So the child has been weaned. He is still a small child. I don't know. My thought is probably he's somewhere in his 6, 7, 8 years old. I don't know. He may be younger than that, but he is a child in this part that we're reading here. And you see there, it says there was no open vision. Let's go turn the page here. And I'm in the 12th verse of the second chapter. And it says, now the sons of Eli, and remember Eli is the priest who is raising Samuel. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. Eli had two wicked sons here. Their names are Hophni and Phinehas, if I pronounced that right. Dropping over here into the 22nd verse of the second chapter. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the Lord shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. So, you kind of get a picture of the situation that's going on here. Eli is the priest, and let's read one other thing here. In the 27th verse of the second chapter, and there came a man of God unto Eli, and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at my offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make them make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people? Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honoreth me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Now one other thing that Eli's sons were doing, they were taking the offerings, the sacrifices that were to be sacrificed to God, and they were taking them for themselves to eat. And he was referencing back to that in how that they took his sacrifices and grew fat off of them. That was Eli's sons. And the man of God has gone to Eli and confronted him and told him what is going to happen. There is some other stuff if you want to read it, but I'm gonna drop off from that right now and go back to Samuel. Now we've seen here the condition of the people. Eli has failed to raise his sons in the correct manner. He's allowed them to take the offerings that God was to rightfully receive, and they've consumed them for their own condition. Not only that, but it's the Bible saying that he's laying with the women, the sons are, and I'm pretty sure you understand what that means. In short, it's just a very evil situation all the way around, and the people are not receiving the instructions, and they're not receiving the knowledge is not being passed on to them because of Eli's failings. Eli is the one that is failing here. His sons are doing evil, but Eli has failed. And so now we have Eli raising Samuel, and there is no open vision because of the sin that is in the land. God is withdrawing from this people. Now picking up here, and Samuel is a child. And it came to pass at that time, this is the second verse of the third chapter, and it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not, lie down again." And he went and laid down again. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I call not, my son, lie down again." And Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Now, one thing that struck me here is that it's taken three times for Eli to figure out what's going on. So I think that Eli is has separated from God to an extent that it's taken almost a club over the head for him to begin to see something's happening here. The Lord is at work. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things that I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever." And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. I want you to stop and think, because this really struck me when I read that. This is just a young child being raised by this man. And I believe that in the manner that he was raised, he had respect unto the house that he was being raised in. I believe he had respect unto Eli. And here he is being instructed by the Lord to go to Eli and tell him, "Your house is getting ready to be destroyed because of sin." And I can't imagine the burden that this child must feel at this point. And when it says, "And Samuel lay until the morning," I think, this is my own thought, that Samuel probably was not able to go to sleep. He probably laid there all night long thinking about what had occurred and thinking about what he was faced with in the morning. But we read on again. He laid and opened the doors of the house of God, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he answered, "Here am I." And he said, "What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to me, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee." Now, I think Eli's probably got a pretty good idea about what's coming here. And Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good." The whole point of all this reading was that because of iniquity, because of sin, the sin of a man of God, Eli, the people have drifted apart from God. And the vision, it says, there was no open vision. There was no spirit among the people there. There was no leadership. There was no guidance. And the people have drifted off, and they don't know. The people don't know. But the problem with that is, ignorance is no excuse. It was not okay, even though the people didn't know right from wrong because they weren't being taught. It was not okay. And we have here, the Lord is taking care of the situation. He's taking care of the situation first through Hannah, because Hannah has prayed to God. Hannah has prayed a prayer that has gotten through to God, and God has answered that prayer, and God has sent Samuel to him. And Samuel will go on, and you can read about the various happenings. Samuel is a great servant of God, and he goes on to lead the children of Israel for quite some time. But the point that I'm trying to make is, it was sin and iniquity and the failure of just a few people, the failure of God's people to deal with sin and iniquity, that caused this lack of knowledge. And it kind of went on and grew, so that the people were in pretty bad shape at this time. This didn't all happen overnight. This wasn't something that occurred over a few months or something. It happened over a lifetime. I think it happened over Eli's lifetime, probably 60 or 70 years. And it was just a slow, gradual decline and a drifting away. Do we see any of that going on today? I'm afraid we do. I want to swing over now for just a second to Isaiah chapter 5, verse 11. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, and continue until night till wine inflame them. And the harp and the viol, and the tabret, the pipe and wine are in their feast, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. Therefore my people have gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Now, when you read that in the 11th verse, it's speaking about the rising up early and the strong drink, and that's always been kind of where my focus was, that they were just drinking and getting drunk. But you read on, and you read that the harp and the viol and the tabret and the pipe and the wine are in their feast. There's more to it than just drinking going on here. They're feasting. They have plenty of food. They have musical instruments. They're partying. They're having a good time. They're not just, common winos lying in the gutter here. These are well-off people with plenty to eat, plenty of time on their hands, music to be played, good times to be had, and that's what they're doing. They're not just necessarily a bunch of drunkards, although that is going on. But the problem in their feasting, but they regard not the work of the Lord. They don't have time for the Lord. They're too busy living their lives and going about and enjoying things of this world. They don't have time, neither consider the operation of his hands. They don't look about them and see what the Lord is doing, what's going on in their land, how the Lord makes the sun to shine. It's not crossing their mind, those things. And it says they are gone into captivity, but they have no knowledge, and they're not honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. I don't believe the multitude was dried up with thirst for water, but the multitude was dried up for thirst of the hearing of the Lord. The leadership and the guidance and spiritual guidance is what they are thirsty for and what they're dried up from. One other thing here, and I'll be done, and this is going over Hosea chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beast of the field, and with the fowls of the heaven, yea, the fishes of the sea shall be taken away. And then dropping down to the sixth verse, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no more priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. The people were increased. The people were blessed. They prospered, and they had a lot. But as they were increased, and as they prospered, they forgot God. They turned away from Him. And when they did that, they rejected knowledge. They rejected the knowledge of God, not the knowledge of books and mathematics and English, not that type of knowledge. They rejected the knowing of God and what God would have them to do. And because of that, God says He was rejecting them and would forget their children. That's about everything that I have for today. I appreciate y'all coming today. And I hope that you got something out of this lesson. And I hope everybody can take it home and kind of ponder on it and think about it. Because as I read this and I read what the children of Israel are doing, and I see a lot of the same things going on in our land, both in the land in general, the way that things are with just the United States in general, and with God's own people. You know, we tend to do pretty much the same thing that the Israelites did. We need to be on guard for those things, because we can't expect any different outcome than what is told in the Bible. Nobody has any comments, questions, we can be dismissed. Let's keep Brother Armour in our prayers, and let's keep the visitors also in our prayers, that the Lord might be shown unto them. Brother Quinn, would you dismiss us?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Lord's day. Thank you for the blessings of life.